him and appreciate
him. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, sir. I've got. Thank you, sir. Well, let's praise our God this morning. Let's lift up our hands and worship Him, praise Him, exalt Him, magnify Him. That name that's above every name, we give you glory, O God. We give you honor, we give you praise, for you alone are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God, for the name, the word, and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we thank Him this morning for that? Come on, let's give Him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated if you can. Praise the Lord. What an honor it is for your pastor to ask you to minister the Word of God in your church. And I do love this church. I do love my pastor and his family. But I love Jesus so much. He's such a good God. I said He's a good God. He only has good for us. He only has good for us. I bear witness with one thing, with almost everything Pastor says, but one thing in particular this morning when he was holding his Bible out, and he said he likes to see people with their Bible open, and he likes to see the Word of God. And I've got all the toys too. I've got an iPad mini, and I've got an iPhone and all that. But this Word, you never know the difference this Word's going to make in somebody's life. 33... That song Kelly sang this morning just wiped me out they all sang it and played it, but woo, hallelujah. But this word, 33 years ago, when I was dating Lori, when she would go out with me, and I went to pick her up on a date, she invited me in, and it was like, have you ever hit a wall and it just stops you like that? I walked into her house and looked on her dining room table, and there was a Bible on that table, and it was open. And I was a raw heathen, and I saw that Bible open, and I had never seen a Bible open, and it changed my life. Just having the Word of God open on somebody's table and knowing that somebody was reading it and somebody was looking at it, and it was like, and that was my first encounter. That was my first encounter with God, and then I began to see God and how God worked in her life and the peace of God in her. And then, of course, you know, because of that witness, God radically changed my life when I called out to Him. I want you to know we are all living epistles born and read of all men. Amen. We are all people. You could be the only Bible somebody will ever read. Yes, that's right. So that Word of God, that really ministered to me, Pastor, when you opened the Word and said that. That took me right back 33 years ago when I saw that Bible open on Lori's dining room table, and it was just wow. I'd never seen anybody read the Word. Well, praise the Lord. It is an honor, and when Pastor asked me to minister this week, to minister this morning, I had several messages in mind, but I kept asking God what He wanted me to minister, and He kept drawing me back to the Holy Ghost. And He kept, every time I would ask Him, and I spent some time praying and asking God and what He would have me to do. So the title of my message this morning is The Baptism in the Holy Ghost. As I began to study for this message and prepare to minister along these lines, God kept unfolding things to me which have inspired me even this week to press into Him more and seek His face more in a more intimate way, to draw closer to Him, for He longs for all of us to do that. Why? Because the baptism in the Holy Ghost is all about the harvest, ladies and gentlemen. I said the baptism in the Holy Ghost is all about the harvest. It's all about seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. It's all about living a holy life. It's all about living a fervent life for God. It's about the end time harvest. You remember the old World War I poster where Uncle Sam was on it and he was pointing and he said, I need you. Well, I want you to know God needs each and every one of us for the end time harvest. He needs every one of us for the end time harvest. As a matter of fact, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so important. Now listen to this. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is so important that when Jesus was getting ready to send his disciples out to evangelize the whole world, what did he say to them? He said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you be endued with power from on high. We are not to go anywhere or do anything until we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. For 52 years, Pastor has nurtured this church, Calvary Cathedral International. It's a church that our pastor has allowed the full counsel of God to be preached in. The full counsel of God. Our pastor for 52 years has protected the anointing of God. He has welcomed and invited the Holy Ghost into this house. He has established biblically based ministries at Calvary Cathedral International where Jesus is Lord and the gospel can be preached and practiced. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Amen. He's worthy. Our pastor has kept the fires of revival burning bright in our midst. Pastor says in his book, Revival Now, that he has been, listen to this, Pastor said he has been called to be a pastor who carries and imparts to others the spirit of revival. He said, that is why I was born. What a statement. Come on, give him praise. He's worthy. What a statement. What a mission. What a calling. Pastor, your message last Sunday, the power of a praying church, has stirred people all over our congregation to pray and seek God more. I'm getting, people are calling me, people are talking to me about praying more, about seeking God more. God, ladies and gentlemen, is moving by His Spirit. People have told me they're taking more time to pray, and God is hearing and answering prayer. To walk in the spirit of revival, I believe you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I also believe that we are called to carry and impart the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost. The new birth is the most important thing in our lives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is God's gift to mankind. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Accepting Jesus Christ into your heart is the new birth, the new life in God. It's the passing away of the old man, and it's the new birth of the new man. You are born again by confessing Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. I know you're familiar with this. We say it almost every service. But Romans 10:9-10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At the new birth, you receive eternal life. You are saved from spiritual death, eternal separation from God. You are made alive in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to shout on that. Amen. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, made me free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. It works every time. I said it works every time. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. At the new birth, you receive eternal life. You're saved from spiritual death. You're made alive in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You're born again. You become a child of God. All your sins are forgiven. They are forgotten. They are behind His back, never to be brought up to you again. You can have communion with Almighty God in prayer, and you will go to heaven when you pass from this life. Jesus said you must be born again. Asking Jesus into your life, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest, the wisest, and most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. Give Him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But at the new birth, something amazing happens. Something amazing happens. The Holy Ghost comes to live inside your spirit. At the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside your spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. He is God, and He comes to live on the inside of you. I said He comes to live on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I know you know this, but listen. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He comes to live inside of you. One of the greatest differences between the Old Testament believers and us as New Testament believers is the fact that in us, we are the temple of God. God Himself actually indwells us. He comes and dwells inside of us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people and anoint them for service. But hallelujah, in the New Testament, the Lord dwells inside of us. We literally become His dwelling place. Hallelujah. We are His dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice the word says that our bodies and our spirits belong to God. They don't belong to us, ladies and gentlemen. We have been purchased by God. We have been purchased by God, and His Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. Literally, our bodies are not of own. We have become God-possessed. Hebrews 3, amen, hallelujah. What a mystery. What an awesome, awesome truth. Hebrews 13, 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Recognizing the Lord is on the inside of you will change you. If we as believers have a real revelation of Christ in us, it will drastically change our attitudes, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions. Ladies and gentlemen, God lives inside each and every one of us as born-again believers. Can we give God praise for that? Amen? Hallelujah. So the new birth, God comes to live in our spirits through the presence of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and it is a gift for every born-again believer. Just as Jesus Christ is God's gift to mankind, so the Holy Spirit is God's gift to His children. I said, just as Jesus is God's gift to mankind, so the Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus even said in Luke chapter 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father for every born-again believer. He is a gift for you and for me. And the baptism in the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, is the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The first is the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. But the baptism in the Holy Ghost is a separate experience from being born again. Thank God for the new birth. I said thank God for the new birth. But thank God after the new birth, there is more. There is a separate experience after the new birth, and it's available to every born-again believer. In the Bible, it is called receiving or being filled with or being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's a separate experience after the new birth, and it's available for every believer. John, listen to what Jesus said. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus promised to send another comforter. In other words, another just like himself. The Holy Spirit is another comforter just like Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jesus said it was actually to our advantage to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit rather than his personal presence? Listen to this verse. You remember it. John 16, 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16, 7. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. In Acts chapter 8, hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, the church at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. In other words, the believers at Samaria, well, they were believers. They were born again. And what happened? The church in Jerusalem sent Peter and John to Samaria to check it out. And Peter and John prayed for these believers and laid hands on the Samaritans. And the scripture said they received the Holy Ghost. They were already born again, but then when Peter and John went to them, they received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9, same deal. Ananias, a disciple at Damascus, was the instrument God used to lay hands on Saul and said to receive the Holy Ghost. Saul had already called on the name of the Lord. Remember when God showed himself to him, he said, Lord, who art thou? And what do you want me to do? And Ananias went and laid hands on him, and he received the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul was in Ephesus. I love this story. Paul was in Ephesus, and he asked the disciples, in other words, those that had already believed in the Lord as Savior, if they had received the Holy Ghost since they believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they responded by saying that they hadn't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Yeah. Acts chapter 19. Not all believers have heard of the Holy Ghost or been taught about the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a church where we can teach and preach and learn about the Holy Spirit of God. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. Hallelujah. Not all believers are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But when these disciples heard about the Spirit baptism, they believed and immediately received the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. Wow. Wow. So, we've established it's a subsequent experience to being born again. So how do you know somebody is baptized in the Holy Ghost? How do we know? How do you know when someone has been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Is there an immediate indication? Sure, over the long term, there's the fruit of a holy and a good life. But I mean, is there something immediately that you can point to and say, that person is baptized in the Holy Ghost? Is there an immediate indication? The answer is yes. God has provided that indicator. When a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost according to Scripture, that person will speak with tongues. Let me say it again. When a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost according to Scripture, that person will speak with tongues. Speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then there's some people that question and ask, why do I need that? What is accomplished by me speaking in tongues? Why is it important? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. It was obvious that Paul spoke in tongues a lot. The example of Paul's life shows that speaking in tongues is a powerful gift that believers should utilize often. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All who were filled with the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This sign was repeated throughout the book of Acts, and it is repeated today when people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. They speak with other tongues. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, while Peter spake words at Cornelius' house, the Holy Ghost fell on all them, and they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came to the disciples, or the believers, if they're a disciple, they've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the disciples at Ephesus and laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Jesus said in Mark 16, 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural gift today for every believer that will receive it. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And at this point, I want to just share with you, I don't want to get the total focus on tongues because we don't seek tongues. We seek the Holy Ghost. I said, we seek the Holy Ghost. Your prayer language or tongues comes with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues, but the two work hand to hand. They work together. Amen. So we see through Scripture, the Bible shows us that the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. Now, why? What are some of the benefits? What difference does it make? Well, let me tell you what being baptized in the Holy Ghost does. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. I said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in all Samaria, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. One benefit of being baptized in the Holy Ghost is that He gives you power. He gives you power. He gives you power for the harvest. He gives you power for the end time harvest. He gives you power to be a witness. He gives you power for signs, wonders, and miracles. He gives you power to do the works of God. He gives you power to live a holy life. He gives you power to keep the devil under our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost gives us more power than we will ever need, whatever we will face in this life. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have more than enough power to overcome that. You have more than enough power to overcome that. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost will give you the power to do what you cannot do without Him. So being baptized in the Holy Ghost gives you power. Another benefit of being baptized in the Holy Ghost is found in John 14:16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The word Comforter, abide with you forever. Abide with you forever. The word Comforter means one called alongside to help. It means a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby. Every Christian should want this kind of help from God. I said every Christian should want this kind of extra help that the Holy Ghost gives. But some believers don't even know this help is available for them. They've been told that the baptism is not for today. Many people don't know what belongs to them or what is available to them through God. You know, we've heard pastors say over and over again how true it is that you will never live a victorious Christian life until you know who you are and what you have in Christ. I want you to know that there is help for you from the Holy Ghost. I said there is help for you from the Holy Ghost. He will counsel you when you need counseling. He will give you wisdom and direction. He will help you in time of need. He will help you in intercession when you're praying. He will be your advocate. He will give you extra strength. He will stand by you when you feel as there's no one else there. He will be there for you. Remember the Apostle Paul when he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. He will stand with you. He will strengthen you. Thank God He will stand with us. Thank God He will strengthen us. He will never leave us or forsake us, the Bible says. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. He is our standby. He is the one called alongside to help us. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is sent to teach us, ladies and gentlemen, all things and bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus has spoken unto us. Hallelujah. Andrew Womack says this is the best note-taking system available. It's the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. He'll bring it to your remembrance. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. John 16:13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. I believe one of the least used gifts of the Holy Spirit is He will show us things to come. My, 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 the Holy Ghost, when you depend on the Holy Ghost, He will show us things to come. Hallelujah. Shikarabasa. He'll show us things to come. In 1 John 4:4, John said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. "For thou verily givest thanks well." When we pray in tongues, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul says we are communing with God, and we pray or speak mysteries. He says speaking in tongues edifies you. The closest word we have to that word edify is to charge up, like you charge a battery, or we get built up. In essence, Paul is saying that when we speak in an unknown tongue, we edify ourselves. We charge ourselves up. We build ourselves up like charging a battery. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And verse 17 of that same chapter says, "When we pray in tongues, we are giving thanks well unto God." Being thankful to God is probably one of the greatest attributes and one of the greatest witnesses a believer can have. Being thankful to God. And he says when we pray in an unknown tongue, we are giving God thanks well. Hallelujah. Couple of more scriptures. I'm just going to say it. Jude 20 and 21. Listen to this. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 20, Jude is saying, when we pray in tongues, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. But verse 21, which many times we don't quote, is a continuation of verse 20, and it says that through praying in the Holy Ghost, we keep ourselves in the love of God. We keep ourselves in the love of God. In other words, we've got to stir that love up that's within us. We've got to keep it fresh. We've got to stir it up by praying in the Holy Ghost. We do that by praying in other tongues. Shikarabasokorabasa. Hallelujah. There's so many benefits to being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. Romans chapter 8, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Apostle Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit helps us through the frailties of our flesh by interceding for us. According to these verses, the Holy Spirit helps us. He makes intercession for us. He prays the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. The Apostle Paul saying that the Holy Spirit helps us through the frailties of our flesh. Hallelujah. The perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit is always leading us and interceding with us for God's perfect will to come to pass in our lives. The perfect will of Almighty God. Hallelujah. One more verse on the benefits, and we could go on and on all day, but listen to this one. John 15:26, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He will be a witness for Jesus. He will give evidence of Jesus in your life. He will give testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's all about the harvest. It's all about the end time harvest. Hallelujah. There's so many benefits to being baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. But I want to tell you, I want to give you one more thing here. How are we baptized in the Holy Ghost? What's the key to unlocking all of these benefits? The perfect will of God. All of these benefits. What is the key to unlocking these benefits of being baptized in the Holy Ghost for you, for me? What's the key? I'm going to give you just a couple of them real quick. Number one, you must understand that your Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you. Period. He loves you unconditionally. Before Jesus ever began his public ministry, before he ever healed one person, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He loves you just as you are. The Father loved Jesus. His love for Jesus was not based on Jesus' performance. And that's the way he is towards us. His love for us is not based on our performance. He loves us, period. Come on and give him praise for that. Hallelujah. He loves us, period. The Heavenly Father loves you. Number two, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, Mark chapter 1 verse 8, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." John chapter 1 33, "The same is he which baptizes you with the Holy Ghost." Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, "Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. You want the fire of God in your life? I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost. It's being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's rising up on the inside and by faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Every Christian that wants to be an effective witness should have the Holy Ghost and fire. Number three, we must trust our Heavenly Father. He loves us, Jesus is the baptizer, and you must trust your Heavenly Father. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Jesus was assuring us that God's love and his willingness to demonstrate that love are far greater than we can ever experience in any human relationship. Our loving Heavenly Father will not deny us anything that is good, nor will he give us something bad when we ask for something good. Many Christians have been taught that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not of God. It's not of God. Speaking in tongues is not of God. Even after they come to the realization that it is of God, that the gifts are of God, they fear that when they ask, they might get something from the devil instead of these gifts from God. But Jesus made it clear in these verses, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus made it clear that he will not let that happen. You will not ask and get something that's not from God. You must trust your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Jesus is the baptizer. You must trust your Heavenly Father. And number four, you must receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You must receive the Holy Spirit by faith. We must ask and believe for the baptism in the Holy Ghost just as we asked and believed for salvation. You must receive it by faith. Mark 16, 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Who shall speak with new tongues? Them that believe. How many believers do we have in the house today? Amen? Speaking in tongues is a supernatural gift available to every believer that will receive it. If you believe in Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Who began to speak with other tongues? They did. Who did? They did. The people did. The Holy Spirit did not take possession of them at that point, and the people had no control over what was happening. No, with speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit will give you the utterance, but you are the one that must exercise your faith and speak and believe that the result is inspired by God. Many people have turned away at that point because they've not understood that. That many people sit there and wait for God to supernaturally move their mouths and speak. And He's not going to do that. He could do that, but that's not the way He does it. We do this by faith. We're baptized by faith. We're saved by faith. We're healed by faith. We walk by faith. Our life is a life of faith, ladies and gentlemen. So you must receive Him by faith. And number five, last one. One way the Holy Ghost can be received is through the laying on of hands. I said one way He can be received is through the laying on of hands. Acts 8, 17. When they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, when hands were laid on them. In Acts 19, 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Ghost is received when hands are laid upon you. I want to pray for you right now. Father, we open our hearts. We worship You today. God, we're so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the Holy Ghost, Father. God, we thank You for sending another Comforter. We thank You for sending Him to us. We thank You, oh God, for the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we invite You and we welcome You in our midst today. We invite You and we welcome You in our midst today. And God, I just pray for everyone here. I know there's many that are baptized in the Holy Ghost here, but I know there's others that are not. And I pray for them right now. As a matter of fact, right now, if you'd say, "Charlie, I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. But I do not have the gift of speaking in other tongues. I don't have that gift yet, but I want that gift. I want those benefits that are available to me today." If you'd say, "Charlie, I want that gift of speaking in other tongues, of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, of those benefits that you discussed, I want you to just lift your hand right now and say, Charlie, pray for me today. Lift your hand high right now and say, Charlie, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost today. I see those hands going up all over this room, in the back, towards the front. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can lower your hands. Holy Spirit, have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now I want to ask you to do something. If you can hold steady just for a few more minutes. It's 1 minute till 12, if you can hold steady. But if we could all stand in the house of God right now, but hold steady, please. No moving around, I ask in Jesus' name. Now, if you raised your hand on that invitation to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, to receive the power from on high, I want you to take the next step with God right now. I want you to step into the nearest aisle, if you raised your hand or if you should have, and walk right down here. And we are going to pray right now, and you are going to receive the Holy Ghost. Your life will never be the same again. I want you to come from all across this room. I saw those hands all across this room. Come right down, right now. Just stand right up here. Right up here to the step. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Holding steady, please. Just come down if you'd like to receive that free gift that God has for you. Come down now. We'll wait for you. Come down now. It is like your life will never be the same again. Everybody, single line right across here, please. Come now. Come now. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else want to join these? Anyone else want to join these? To receive power, to receive help. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to have some Holy Ghost believers stand behind you and lay hands on you. And when they lay their hands on you, you are going to receive the Holy Ghost. You are going to speak in other tongues, and your life will never be the same again. Hallelujah. So what I'd like to do is have our staff, and then have the Calvary Church staff. And then if there's more people here than we have staff here today, I'd like to get some Holy Ghost faith-filled believers to come stand behind them. Don't lay your hands on them yet, but come. Just come right now, staff. Just stand behind one person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shiba rabaso korabasa. All right. Now again, you must be born again. Is everyone here born again? Are you born again? Born again? Everyone born again? You born again, ma'am? Yes, sir. Everyone born again? Yes. Born again? Everyone born again. Born again. All right. Everyone in the audience holding steady, please. You know, this is important. This is the second most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life right here. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost, receiving power from on high. Okay. We have some believers standing behind. Do we have someone right here? We need one other person. Another believer. Thank you, Jennifer. They said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we hadn't even heard of any Holy Ghost. Well, you've heard of the Holy Ghost now. I said, you've heard of the Holy Ghost now. And He's here for you. And He's here to transform your life right now. Right now. So what we're going to do in just a moment, there's a believer behind you. And in a moment, they're going to lay hands on your shoulder. And as soon as they lay their hands on your shoulder, you begin to speak in other tongues. We're going to be speaking in tongues. The believer behind you is going to be speaking in tongues. Congregation, if you would, stretch your hands towards these right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for these that are up front right now. And Father, I thank you that as soon as we lay hands on them, that they will begin to speak in the Holy Ghost. Okay, believers, lay your hands on them right now. Now speak in the Holy Ghost. Speak in other tongues. Begin to speak in other tongues right now. Open your mouth and speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Samaramasa karamasa. Ibaramasa karamasa karamasa. Umaramasa karamasa. Go ahead and open your mouth. Let it flow. 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 Let it flow in the name of Jesus. Let it flow. That's okay. Open your mouth and let it flow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady, did you speak in other tongues? Did you speak in other tongues? You did? Hallelujah. Ma'am, did you speak in other tongues? Hallelujah. 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 Did you? Hallelujah. Did you, sir? Hallelujah. Did you, sir? Hallelujah. Did you? And you? And you? And you? Hallelujah. This house. Hallelujah. Okay. Woo! Awesome. Awesome. Now, you need to pray in tongues as much as possible. Pray in tongues when you're driving down the road. Pray in tongues when you're lying on your bed. Pray in tongues when you're cooking eggs. Pray in tongues no matter what you're doing. Pray in tongues. And the more you develop that gift, the more you develop that gift, it will grow, it will grow, and you will grow, and your life will never be the same again. Let's give God praise in this house. Hallelujah. Those books. I tell you what, let's do. Everyone that's come forward, real quick. Do we have the Why Tongues books? David? Yeah. Do we have those back there in the... Okay. Good, good, good. I tell you what, everybody down here, stay down here just for a second. We're going to go get you some books. And if we don't have them, we will have them for you next week. But I'm telling you, your journey, God has such a wonderful, wonderful plan for you. Right, and it's starting. It's moving on. God loves you. And thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to minister the Word of God today. Thank you, audience, for being such a wonderful audience. God bless you, Pastor. All right, everyone that came down, hold on. Stay down here. Everyone that's down here, hold on. Okay, because we want to get you some books. Are they there, Larry?
Well, this is such an exciting time. Praise the Lord. Let's thank God for what He's done in our midst this morning. Amen and amen. Amen.
I tell you what, we'll have those books for you next week. They'll be in the bookstore. And they are our gifts to you. They are our gifts to you. Oh, do you have them? Here he comes. Hallelujah. He's running with the books. All right.
All right.
David, I'd like to just give a book to everyone that's come down to receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Don't forget 6:30 this evening. Revival services with evangelists.